Hey, Roxy, can you illustrate a half-step modulation? Is that what you're doing right now?
Yes.
She's doing it. She's doing it. Yeah.
No, that's not me, but it's very easy. You can play something in one key, and you can bring that music up or down using modulation. So if you are playing in C, half step modulation will be only from C to C sustenido. I don't know how you say it, the plus. One half step up. And if you keep the intervals the same, the music will sound the same, even if you're using higher frequencies.
Hmm.
Like,
I'd have
now,
to
so you, you use a, you use a capo and a guitar to do that, say, Roxy?
Sorry?
So that's, you're talking about the same thing as when you put a capo on a guitar and you move it up one step, you're moving everything up of that melody up one step.
Mm. Yes. You
but it does.
Move,
it stays the same,
melody,
Roxy. It
for
stays
example,
the same, but
yes.
But the mood can change. It can change the mood or the feeling of it. I found it stays the same. The melody stays the same, but the feeling can change by the step, by the interval. That's
well, because we somehow think low frequencies are or. Low and slow is sad, and higher and faster is happy.
Mm.
You know, but okay. the idea is the same. Some people need to sing lower or higher, so you modulate so that they can sing the same song.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Play,
so you can have two people singing at the same time at different keys, the same song, so to accommodate their voice?
Not the same keys.
No.
Not different keys. Key. Not different
no.
key? Or
no, no,
is
no, no,
it's
no.
Not
that,
a,
that, oh. That's the same key.
That's harmony.
At different heights or at different frequencies, but that's the same key. If you do multi harmonies, that's very complex. That may not sound harmonious. We're going to talk about harmony.
Good.
Hmm.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, can you guys hear me? This is Slogger.
Yes.
Slogger, yes. Hello.
Hey. No, I was just like thinking about the half-step modulation. Basically, all the relationships between all the notes are exactly the same, except for the note that you're referring to, your bass note, or the key note. Like, so if you're in C and then you go to C sharp, everything's shifted up to C sharp, but it sounds exactly the same. So if you're not a musician, actually, you couldn't really even tell that you've gone from C to C sharp because the song sounds exactly the same because the relationships between all the notes in the song and the melody and the rhythm are all the same. So, but you've shifted up in frequency. So you've gone from
it's
C to
sharp.
C sharp. So you're... So your base is frequency, your reference frequency is a little bit higher.
Hmm.
Does that make
sense? Is the sharp
slogger,
is the sharp a half step, or is that a different designation?
No, that's
yeah,
a half
if you
step.
Go if you go up, it's called sharp. If you go down, it's called flat. But it's a half step.
Damn, I learned something. Cool. Thanks, Robbie.
But I think that's what Ion is trying to say between our worlds, because a lot of times we're shifting worlds and we don't even realize it. But I think it's because everything is the same, because all the relationships are the same, but we've actually shifted a world, and so it's slightly different.
No, that's a good point.
So
shifting between worlds is half-step modulation.
Yeah, right, exactly, and that's where I wanted to get to, too. That seems to be the point of the lines and spaces. There's a correlation with shifting into in and out or triangulation even to different places. And
yeah, see, you have to always apply eternity. So if you're here forever, then the slightest, you've been around long enough for the slightest changes to happen in yourself, and that's a kind of parallel worlding, and also huge environmental changes. You've been around that long.
Yeah.
Now that we're talking about this, we're actually into the topic.
Okay, so here's what I propose, Roxy. I'm going to mute everybody.
No,
I'm going to mute everybody, and then every 10 minutes, we'll see if we have any questions. I'll open it to what we've said.
No, come on, Bob. Everybody's into it. What are you talking about? Everybody on
Wait a minute.
The line
You're
is
not...
a musician.
Hey, we haven't started. When we start...
I just learned something from Flogger.
Right. But listen, what's going to happen is that Roxy's going to have a monologue for 20 fucking minutes, and you guys are all going to get irritated and you know, and fucked up about it.
Yeah, so why don't you do it slower so that everybody can be part of it?
No, because Roxy has a lot to say.
Well, so do other people.
Not what Roxy's going to say. So, here's what
we do. We can do it other day. It doesn't have to be tonight.
See, now you get all fucked up. She wants to run away and do another day, Carol. So now we're going to do that. She's going to take the fucking microphone and lay out her thesis, okay? And I'm going to comment it, and Bert's going to comment. And then 15...
Well, you better translate words that we don't hear.
Right. Every 15 minutes, we will allow people to come in. Yeah, it was 10. I slipped it up to 15. Thanks a lot for noticing. Okay, maybe 10 minutes. They go to 10 minutes. And the point is, the new part, we never did it before. We'll let people come in, and they can ask Ross, see their questions, and then we'll have some dialogue about it, rather than having 2 hours of just me, Bert, and Roxy. Isn't that fair, everybody? Everybody agree with that?
No.
And the reason you're talking about music is you're relating it to the
Zappa.
Difference in the world. You're talking about Zappa.
Zappa.
Okay.
And you guys all hate Zappa, so that's another reason we mute you. You know, we don't want you jeering.
No, it's actually, Zappa has been a pretext to talk about things psionic. And
let's have you say that. Okay, so regardless of Carol's objections, we're going to mute everybody, and Carol can be part of it. You can ask your questions, Carol. You're allowed. You're a fan of Zappa. You're allowed to be part of this, but we're going to have Bert and Roxy and me listen to Roxy for a while, okay? If you don't like it, stick around. You should put up with it. Good self-training. Good discipline, all right?
No, actually, it's a pretext to explain things that Ian is talking about.
Yes, no, we're going to Ian.
So,
that's why you should stay around and listen. I have to mute everybody. There's too many. So, Roxy, we're going to start officially after I mute everybody. Does everybody feel okay? I don't care, but I'm just asking you.
Zappa. I'm sorry.
Check in 10 minutes.
Nicholas is, hey, Nick, you don't know what you're going to learn about Zappa. So, fuck it. If you don't bring in your likes and dislikes. They're irrelevant because they can change anytime.
Because we are not only talking about Zappa. We're talking about frequencies and everything in the universe.
Right. And
yeah, that's what I'm interested in.
Okay, so let's, and we're going to play little excerpts here and there. So, Roxy, I should find the one that you want to start with. Was it Rite of Spring or something else?
Well, there is one, LaRouche, Explaining the Universe.
Mm. Oh, so that'll be verbal?
Okay.
Yes. But I want to explain in Cliché and Archetype.
Okay,
McLuhan
don't go into it. So what's the first piece of music I could play? You sent me a whole bunch.
Yes, but you don't have to stay right away.
Okay, you want to talk first. Okay, all right, good.
Just a little. in cliche
okay,
and
good.
Archetype.
Okay, I'm going to mute everybody. And then, where are you, Bert? Could you speak, Bert, so I can see where you are?
Yes, I'm here about. Roxana, can you give the page of cliche to archetype you're going to quote from?
I don't have it now. But
okay.
it's like McLuhan mentions the resonant interval several times. That's
okay.
The everything's happening at the same time. So when Ion says the gob is dissolved, and then he says it's not dissolved, it's because it's, I suppose, this resonant interval he said tonight.
Okay. I'm going to mute everybody. Yeah.
Line muted. Line unmuted. All participants are now muted.
Discovered that.
Okay, no, we haven't started. We haven't started yet. Okay, I just brought you and Bert in. Okay, we're now starting, Roxy. Leda.
Yes. McLuhan mentions in Cliché and Archetype that Heisenberg and Linus discovered that the thing that bonds the particles is their resonance. Mm. And Ion has been always mentioning that the people that don't tune in to the new frequency are going to want to go out to leave this environment. And at the level of the particles, when particles are charged, they create electromagnetic fields, and they have positive or negative polarities, different frequencies, and that's why Ion has been talking about this. Frequencies, polarities, magnetism, and all these things, because what links everything in the universe is this thing we call sound or resonance. And we discovered, as we expanded ourselves and went into the space, that many signals could be translated into electronic signals, and then with the amplifying and speakers we can hear radio waves, electromagnetic waves, and many other types of things that are happening between the planets and the stars. So we can actually hear what Pythagoras called the music of the spheres. In our atmosphere, we hear sound because the particles of the air change pressure, and these changes in the pressure of the particles get into our ears. But Pauline Olivera said, we don't only hear with the ears, we hear with all the bodies, because we somehow also can feel. If the sound is very low, for example, the low frequencies, you can feel them in your stomach. You listen actually with your whole body. But these sculptures in the air, like Frank Zappa said, are then translated in which we call sound. And since antiquity, many wise men thought the thing that bonded everything together was sound. And that was called, the link was called the harmonia. So that's why it was so important to understand how harmony works, because understanding harmony will give us the key to understand the secrets of matter and the whole universe. And Pythagoras, it's very interesting because he was born in Ionia. And when he was 18 years old, he left to Egypt because there was a tyrant in his island, in Samos. And he sort of makes a summary of what he learned in Egypt. And then he was kidnapped because there was a war with the Babylonians, and he was taken to Babylon until he was like 50-something. So he learned in Egypt and in Babylon. And that's why we start with Pythagoras. Before he was born, his father went to the Oracle of Delphi and asked the Oracle about the new baby. And the Oracle said this was going to be a son that is going to be very important for the progress of humanity. And because the woman reading the Oracle were called Pythes, that's why he's called Pythagoras. Like, that's what the priestess said. That's the meaning of his name. Like,
right.
And we don't have any writings from Pythagoras. It's only things people said about him that they always say, as the man said himself.
Mm.
And it's really interesting because he was very ascended. He was really a genius. He studied with the best people of his time, and everybody recognized that he was really brilliant. And he said he was the son of Hermes. And Hermes gave him a gift. He said he could choose anything except eternity or immortality. So he chose to remember his life every time he came back. So he could remember all of his life, and he would report on everything he knew. And that's why he was so brilliant, because he could remember. That's what he said. And
did you say that he had a problem with immortality? Is that what you said?
No, he could choose anything, like as a type of superpower. But not he could not stay forever in the same body.
Oh, he could not be immortal. That sense of immortal is what he couldn't do.
Yeah. But okay. He then chose to remember everything he was learning or he knew in each of his lives, and to remember all of his lives. And that's why he was so brilliant. And he was really treated like a god. It was really, like everybody said, it was really amazing. And another superpower he had is that he could hear the music of the spheres. That that's the music that everybody was trying to make since antiquity, because that was the music, the divine music, the music that was made by God. And he was the first to start analyzing things in like a scientific way. He still had this spiritual or mystery landscape teachings, but he said everything, all the knowledge is in the numbers. And the Tetractys was very important in his school, and geometry, and they were like different levels of Tetractys.
Yeah, the Tetractys, Tetractys. Does that mean fourfold, or mean something else?
Yes, because 1 + 2 + 3 + 4. Makes 10, and all numbers are contained inside the 10.
Right.
That's why they make this pyramid and also like a pentagram, and that was his secret symbol. The persons that were into his school, and they were also women, had all this pentagram, and that come all from Union of...
Here's an idea. Because writing was coming in his time, so visual space started to be an artifact in the minds between people. May not be in one mind, but it was something that people had a common effect. And that might be Ion's affect versus effect. So it's a new world, a new space, a new virtual reality that's being made. And so Pythagoras was an expert on the old oral spiritual music, but he was the first to deal with the new landscape, the visual space landscape, and he started measuring sound within it. So he was becoming schizophrenic in a healthy sense. He had two landscapes to work with.
Yes, and it was a time of transition, and this is something we would like to do as we do this musical appreciation, like talk about music and media and how these things evolved.
Right. Well, that's my first insight. You said he was spiritual, but he was which would be the oral, divine harmony spheres tradition of music. And then you said, but he was the first to start analyzing it. It would occur to him to start analyzing this new space that's creeping up in a crowd meme effect. Everybody's starting to experience writing, and it had this beyond the individual sensory level. It was a group effect infiltrating the word. And he started to say, well, that's another space. We need to measure things in that space.
It was actually a time of transition. Music was very important to remember before the alphabet.
Right.
So there were many techniques of everything was accompanied by music. Every activity, work, rituals, anything, everything. And it was very interesting that, since always, music has an effect on our mood and on our actions.
So, Roxy, I'll just add this. This is why McLuhan would see this retrieval of pre-literate sensibilities. He'd walk into a bank, and the clerks are listening to music. That might start in the 70s. So he said, we live entirely by music. So the people you're describing back in Pythagoras and before lived entirely by music. Music accompanied everything. Now we have that, even walking through an airport. Mm.
Yes, and they recognize 9, some say also 13 muses. And the word music come from the muses.
Yeah.
And to be considered civilized, you have to be proficient in all the arts of the muses. So you have to be able to make poetry, to make music, and be a good rhapsode. all these arts you have to know in order to be considered a civilized man in Greece.
That would be the education of the Greeks under the term the Severan liberal arts. That's what they called it, the Severan liberal arts, the seven arts, which were dialectics. You had to do philosophy and logic. You had to be a good speaker. That's rhetoric. You had to understand the etymology of things. That's grammar. Those three make up the trivium. Then in the quadrivium, the other four arts, you had to do music. You had to do geometry. You had to do arithmetic and astronomy, which probably overlaid with astrology. So that's what made up the civilized person.
Just real quick, just a little interlude to this. I've started studying McLuhan's dissertation, the classical trivium.
Yeah.
And on page eight, he states that in the history of Western culture, every chapter begins with the Greeks. And I'm like halfway through, but I'm filling myself in because he lays out so many